Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
White Sox fans, that Don't Stop Believing intro, it's not ironic. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. It's podcast number 101. We got quite a crew. Not the best time to have a podcast, but it's been a while. I've been off on another coast. I'm back now. My voice is back. I didn't dress in my tux the way I promised for podcast 100, but I came close. I'm trying to be a little formal. All right, let's go around. We got five other guests. I'm Brett Valentine, lucky enough to host this podcast some 100 odd times. It's 101 now, on the heels of a rough homestand, 2-4, I believe. I lose track. So many losses. But the icebreaker to begin this podcast is going to be, and I can give you the numbers, Crystal. But first up is Crystal O'Keefe, representing half of the Indianapolis field office. And I would like to know, Crystal, at this point in the season, we are now 1/5 over. Yes, I know it's real early, but 1/5 is off of the schedule now. How would you amend your White Sox wins prediction? If I recall, you were at 99.
Yeah, so I'm going to just not cheer for the White Sox anymore and not pay any attention to them. And I'm just going to join Mr. OK in Happy Land and go full on Mets. I'm going to give them, they're going to win 45 games.
We've got drama. We've got drama in this podcast. Adrian Serrano, homebound, bedbound, back at work, back writing for us again. He's back healthy, strong, superhero. I don't recall. Crystal, I had to pick on you because I think you're the high person in this podcast. Darren Black, 100. So even rougher. Adrian, I don't remember prediction, but what would you amend it to at this moment?
I think I put him in 92, basically saying like it was going to be last year, but slightly worse. And I think we're on track for that. I think to 92, they'd need to go something like 24 games above 500 from this point out, which is doable because Cleveland's really not good. You know, we're making them look like they're hanging in this race. They're not really that good. Detroit is going to play better at some point this year, but they're not playing well. So like you got a lot of games against winnable opponents like still. So it's not impossible once Lance Lynn comes back and like the pitching staff has looked pretty strong mostly. So like if they could score even 4 runs a game, you know, we might have something here. So I don't think they'll be, you know, they're going to probably end up somewhere between 88 and 92. So I think I'm going to leave mine at 92 and hope for the best, be positive.
I love the vibe, Adrian, as the dour host. I got to point out, everybody keeps saying, you know, oh man, we hit the ball. Forget everybody. Steve Stone is saying, hey man, the Yankees are really hot right now. Here's the problem. When you're playing some of those teams, you're helping them be hot. You're helping them stay hot. It is sort of the way it goes. So, I mean, I love where you're at, where it's like, hey, you know, 24 games are 500 and we're making Cleveland look great. Well, let's hope at some point we stop making Cleveland look like a real major league baseball team. The other half of the Indianapolis field office is super Joe Reeses. And Joe, again, don't recall where you're at preseason, but where are you at now with the White Sox and their win total?
Yeah, in the preseason, I was at 91 and 71. And so.
Dour. That's downright dour.
Yes, it was less than most people on our staff for sure. Yeah, it's fallen a little bit, but not a huge amount. I mean, yeah, 16 and 17, that's roughly 3 games worse than I would have thought that they would be at this point of the season. So, yeah, I'll bump them down to 88 from 91. Yeah, I do think that they will have an extended sort of hot streak, and that'll last more than like sort of the hot week that we saw lately. Right around when they faced the Cubs, I thought, that would kind of be the beginning of a super long hot streak. I thought like we'd look back on them and be like, okay, yes, we could pinpoint that moment as, that series at Wrigley as the moment that they fixed the season. But yeah, I do think they will have a some point this summer, a long hot streak, and they'll get back to, I would lean ever so slightly toward they still win the division. The Twins, of course, are doing better than I would have thought, but it's a lot closer than I would like it to be, and too close for comfort, certainly. But yeah, outlook hasn't changed a great deal, despite how much of a roller coaster this first month or so has been.
Extended intro necessary here. Cleverly evaded predicting White Sox win totals. Clever fellow here. You may know him from the North Side Sox pod. You may also know him from a podcast he hosted, which I think at least the subtitle is, "Hey man, don't get so bummed out. It's just the White Sox." But that sort of therapy session. Oh, I'm guessing there'll be future episodes. It's Sam Sherman joining us. So Sam, be honest here. Tell me what you would have predicted the White Sox to win and how would it change now? Oh, you could just spin some fiction.
Yeah. I mean, going into the season, I'm not really a big predictions person, but I'll say that, I thought they were going to be similar to last season, but I wasn't really thinking about the regular season. I was thinking about how they'd perform, in the postseason. We saw how they performed in the postseason last year. They did nothing. They lost Carlos Rodon. They made some very minor additions. I sort of went into this season thinking, well, I'm sure they'll have a similar year in the regular season. Nothing makes me think that they're going into the year, have any better results in the postseason this year. And as the season started, now I'm concerned about that regular season success that I was sort of already penciling in. I would still put them in the high 80s ultimately, because they're going to beat bad teams. I mean, they have four or five games against the Royals this week. I'm sure they'll, they'll take care of business there. I think for me, a lot of my apathy so far in the early going of the season is just that, what are we playing for ultimately? Maybe we win the division, but we just saw what happens when you go up against a team that's actually a World Series contending team, or at least a deep playoff run contending team. And I think this will continue happening throughout the season when they face, better opponents.
I hate to have to check my delightful, fresh guest, Sam Sherman, but, let's just not assume it's going to be an easy series. We couldn't beat the Royals in a series mere days or sheer weeks ago. So let's hope they turn around. They can maybe take four or five, but boy, that's a bold prediction. Tommy Barbie, last year you had the bizarre prediction of like 28 wins, but they're going to still win the division. This year, I think you were a little hardy in your prediction, but I don't have it in front of me. Adrian's our numbers man, but how's it changed, Tommy?
Yeah, I had them at 96 wins this year.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of, basically what I thought was going to happen last year is happening this year, which is odd because usually, I was going into it thinking between the pressure, the Tony La Russa situation, it was just going to be kind of like it would take some time for the team to gel. And it seems like the opposite is happening, where last year, everything that was clicking and working in the Sox favor is now just kind of, this is probably what the team would have looked like if it weren't for Yermin hitting 580 with 20 home runs in the month of May. So I don't know that I would change my prediction, because I still think that there's enough time for the Sox to pad their stats and pad their wins once we get into June and July, and the teams that are just not really that competitive now flat out stop trying and they start trotting out their minor leaguers. But I have the Sox winning by three games. I still think that's pretty much where it's going to be with how good the Twins have looked so far this year, but that's kind of where I'm at.
So in other words, Tommy, your pocket schedule headline right now would be White Sox baseball 2022. We're just waiting for the other teams to stop trying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, reasonable. Tony stopped trying. He might as well wait for the other teams to stop trying.
Do you happen to like tweet out for White Sox Talk podcast or whatever it is?
Yeah. Oh, don't NBC, say that. NBC what White
they,
Sox.
Yeah. They say something similar.
No, it was the whole, oh, we're just waiting for the other teams.
Oh, yeah.
Just show up. Are you on their social media team?
Yeah, no.
I was talking about that the other day, and it's like, that's kind of like now what's the sinking feeling. Like the worst thing the Sox could do this season is just kind of let Minnesota hang around long enough, because Minnesota actually has the prospects to go out Absolutely. And get starting pitching if they decide to test it this year. And if they feel like they could compete this year, they would, you know, like, so like, the best thing they could have done is come out early playing well and like let Minnesota fall behind and have everybody just, you know, trade everything away like they did last year to make it look like they ran away with the division. But really just Cleveland stopped trying because four of their five pitchers got hurt and, you know,
but I mean, that's even what happened the offseason. I mean, it was like nothing from indication in terms of anything happening in Minnesota. The Sox just sat on their hands and said, yeah, we like this team that we threw together and we like Vince Velasquez, and the Twins are like, hey, let's go spend some money. So I mean, it's already happened. It wouldn't surprise me if it happens again.
Yeah, and Tommy, to your point, we'll probably reference Zach Hayes, who is not with us here for this podcast, a couple different times. One of the things that he has been hammering home all off season and into the actual season here is that, you know, we cannot expect the magic, truly the magic. I mean, that's what happens when you come out of nowhere and win 93 games, right? Under Tony La Russa, is a lot of things have to go right. And last year, for all the injuries, all those guys who stepped up did brilliantly. I think he even cobbled them all to collectively into essentially about a 600 at-bat season. It was just off the charts in terms of what, you know, Sheets, Vaughn, you know, Goodwin, you know, throw them all out there did. And we knew that. What are the odds? There's no magic beans that they're feeding, you know, the team, I don't think, in the clubhouse before games to get this kind of crazy overproduction from the club. So you knew that was going to take a step back, and that's going to knock a couple wins, you know, right off the docket right there. Hey, as the low person among the predictors, the one guy who didn't predict them for the playoffs last year, and idiot I am, I was the low man at 90. And for this season, predicted wins. Nobody predicted anything lower than 90. So even Tommy Barbie stepped up and said, they're not going to win 25. They're going to win 96. I don't know personally how I would change it. It does not seem like they're necessarily even going to get to 90. This seems like a division is going to be won by something in the 80s, which I guess gives us hope, because that's another thing that Zach, in just his column before Friday's game, his pregame column, pointed out, hey, listen, the White Sox still have the best chance, best odds for the playoff in the division, although who knows how that's changed, losing 3 out of 4 to the Yankees. It's everybody's expectations are lower now. Probably nobody's going to necessarily crack 90 wins in spite of what any of your answers were. And that still gives the White Sox a good chance to be a playoff team. What it does do is have to reset our expectations for the championship run, World Series favorites, as I think by this season we were hoping to step up into. That seems like a very, very distant goal at this point. Let's take a quick break, come right back, and just talk until the tape runs out about how happy we are to be White Sox fans, to a man, to a woman. We'll be back in a minute. Hey, White Sox fans, the minute is over. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging with us. We are talking White Sox, and you came back. You're still listening. God bless you. That must make you either not terribly, terribly bright or really dedicated White Sox fans. Thank you for being with us. My name is Brett Valentine. I'm hosting Mothership Podcast number 101, the delightful group of Southside Sox staff writers, podcasters, illustrators, rabble-rousers, tweeters, et al. Okay, hold on. Let me run some numbers. I like to do this. You have to sit and listen to it. Sorry. 16-17, the White Sox are right now only 3 games behind the Minnesota Twins, who are wounded like the White Sox. The whole division's wounded. Season's fifth over. It's early. It's a fifth over. 129 games left. White Sox will need to play nearly 600 ball to get to 93 wins of last year. Looking more and more distant through the windshield. 77-52, White Sox have to finish to get to 93 wins. Crystal, I hate to tell you, 83-46 to get to 99 wins. But yeah, you're a Mets fan. You abandoned this podcast. You're a Mets fan. Sorry for all the assignments and all the writing you have to do the rest of the season. As a Mets fan. hey, Tony La Russa is doing a great job this year. If you just look at it by run differential, this team should be 13-20. That's three games worse than they actually are. He's got the magic this year. Just a year late, but he has got the magic. Projected, if you look at run differential, I know it's early run differential. Who cares? It's stupid, whatever. Well, last year we were crowing about how they're going to be a 100-win team based on the run differential. So we got to suit it up this year too. And right now they are 64-98 team based on.
I have a fun stat for that if you want to get bummed out right from the start.
Oh, come on, bum me out, man.
So if you take away the April 10th game against Detroit where they won 10-1, they in their 15 other victories, they are averaging less than 2 runs per victory. Like, so the difference in winning is less than two runs. So like, that's the slimmest margin they're running. Like, they are literally like on the razor's edge. Like, a couple worse pitching performances here and there, and they could have really gone south because this offense is just putrid. I know people are kind of still just rallying around Jose that he's going to be him, and he might be by the end. But like, even last year when he was kind of struggling and Yermin was carrying the team early on, like, he still was like well over 100 and weighted runs created plus. Like, he's like down in the 80s now. He's well below an average player at this point. And that's the center of your lineup. And he's out there. I mean, Tony finally wisened up and moved him back to four, but like, I think he might need to keep kind of sliding until he gets his feet back under him, you know, down 6, 7, 8, and let the guys that are playing well get some time up there.
That's La Russa, baby. That is La Russa, the ace, the Hall of Fame man. He is just, he's squeezing wins out of stone. Let's speak to that for a second here, though. Is this team what it appears to be? I mean, really, let's sit down and think about what this team is. We can say Eloy Jimenez is out. Well, Adam Engel's playing pretty well. I mean, okay, we're not going to equate the two, but it's not, he's not a five war player. It's not out of the realm that if Engel's playing every day, he's giving you essentially all around close to what Eloy would give you. Luis Robert, is he going to give you a whole lot more than what he's giving you right, which is awesome. Jose Abreu, it's not going to get better for him. I mean, if you go down the roster, it's not as if the whole team's like playing possum and, you know, there is this big explosion to come. Am I wrong there? You can shout me down. Where are you feeling in terms of what this team is even capable of doing? Clearly, they're capable of playing better. Game under 500 is ridiculous and insulting. But is the next gear, do they have a fifth gear? I mean, right now, they're running around like second gear. Do they have a fifth gear?
I don't think they do right now. Tim Anderson is leading in errors with, I think it was like 9 now. Jose Abreu is only getting older and is slumping. Yasmani Grandal has not been able to do anything so far this season. At least he used to walk, like he's barely doing that.
And then he doesn't catch anymore. So.
Yeah, he's like, he's just not doing anything. And then those lineups are so inconsistent. I mean, I get that people need time off to like recover after an injury, but why was Moncada not in today? Like, why? This just, it didn't make any sense. We could have at least had some power. And you know, you can't blame today's loss on Michael Kopech. He's been killing it, but there's been no offense to back any of these people up. When Dallas Keuchel is the only one that can win in this series, you're in some serious trouble. Like, there's no offense anywhere. If Adam Engel is the only one to get a home run today, yeah, then you're pretty sad.
He's giving you those Eloy numbers. Adrian just sitting back, just raking it in. Dallas Keuchel, baby. Hey, listen, man.
He's got a new nickname. He's got a new nickname. It's Dally W.
and he after every game, he's got something to say about his
death. All the time.
And it's like, dude, you pitch well, and he's like, oh, I wanted to go another inning. It's like, go fuck yourself. I'm sorry. It's just, I'm so sick of him. I'm so sick of him. And it's just like, he's, I don't know what his motivations are on the White Sox. Exactly. Yeah. But he's acting like it. I mean, he's acting like it.
Oh, yeah, he's not really making any bones about it. It's like, man, I got to get to 160 because I get paid.
Right. So, yeah. And So I'm sorry. I just put the explicit warning on our podcast.
How mad do you think he was, though, that Kopech went six today? Like, do you think he's, like, fuming inside somewhere? Because I would be.
I mean, as it is, he almost blew the, you know, sorry, Adrian. I mean, he almost blew the game. He did, you know, he packed the bases, yeah, running the corners. It's not like he was no hit through five.
Yeah, no, it's like basically he pulled himself even with Velasquez. They're like the same pitcher this year. Like, so that's your fourth and fifth starters are just like both five and a half starters. You know, they're like 5-6 guys.
And I just shed a tiny tear every time I see a Carlos Rodon tweet about how he's like setting a record for strikeouts, or he had a bad day today. Oh, hooray! Oh, gosh. Well, then they shouldn't have offered
him.
Yeah, they shouldn't have given that cloth line offer. Oh, Rick Hahn, you're such a genius. Clever devil. Okay, so no, let's get back to this roster too. Now, at some point, the tie's going to have to turn. We're all going to settle and say, okay, well, you know, Eloy Jimenez is an average player. He's a slightly above average player with a great big smile. Yasmani Grandal is, you know, on the downside of his career. Jose Abreu will not come back to the White Sox. I mean, granted, we'll get ahead of ourselves, but there's still space for this team to fulfill even its 93 win potential, however unrealistic 77 wins the rest of the way is. Is there a likelihood that the White Sox find that gear? Crystal's answer, and she has said no, and I am going to New Shea or City, whatever it is. That's where I'm hanging out now. The rest of the field here, you know, what's realistic? Is this team what it is?
93 wins is definitely unlikely at this point, but I don't think it's a doom and gloom where sort of situation where they're going to be having this poor of an offensive stat line, you know, throughout the season. I mean, you know, 636 OPS after play on Sunday, that's very bad, even accounting for the dead ball. I don't think that will continue, especially as the weather, you know, heats up, ball will carry a little bit more. I think so maybe a few of those warning track flyouts will leave the park as the summer moves on. That'll at least help a little bit. And I think, yeah, Yasmani had one today where I think maybe with a different baller with, I don't know, perhaps better conditions, it maybe would have gotten out of the park. There was, you know, he nearly followed up Engel's solo blast with another solo blast, but didn't quite get out. So I think as the summer goes on, maybe a few of those will work in the White Sox favor. I don't think Jose will stay in a slump forever either. There's a lot of room for improvement just because there are some sort of like players who have kind of been like almost a black hole on the roster up to this point. Like, you know, Abreu, Grandal, we've already mentioned. Reese McGuire has gotten a ton of playing time and his OPS is barely above 300. There are a lot of kind of weak links on the offense right now. So I think it can be easy for them to at least improve on those as the summer goes on. And that can make a big difference.
White Sox baseball 2022, Reese McGuire got a ton of playing time. Other thoughts on whether this roster is really all we were hyped up to believe it was?
Does anybody know without looking who's number four on the team in OPS right now?
Dylan Cease.
No, it's Danny Mendick.
God, that's embarrassing.
I think they have four or five guys over 700, and Danny's one of them. It's been rough. Like, yeah, AJ Pollock had like a couple good days the first two games of the season, and he has been kind of a hole. He has not been good defensively either. Honestly, him and Gavin Sheets defensively have been about the same out there. So I think if they're going to find another level, like, you can't bet on the guys coming back carrying you. Like, Moncada playing pretty well coming off, like, but that's rare. Like, you can't expect these guys to come back from injury successfully. You have to be able to try to do some stuff before they get back and have them help on top of the positive momentum. I think just waiting for them to be the positive momentum is the worst thing that they could do as a team. So, you know, I know Tony doesn't like to, you know, play against the percentages, but like, you might have to let Gavin Sheets, he's had some good at bats against lefties. Like, you might have to just let him be out there and see if he can, you know, get one a game. If he can hit one homer and, you know, look terrible the other three at bats, that's more effective than whatever, you know, Josh Harrison or AJ Pollock or any of these other guys are giving you right now. So you need to score runs. So you need to just make some concessions to give guys chances who are producing.
I guess it's fair not to trash the roster too badly, because obviously they're playing way under potential. So it's not fair to say, like, well, if Yoan Moncada just plays the way we expect him to, how much difference that make? Obviously it's going to make a huge difference, because the team is absolutely sucked. Their OPS is 10. So, I mean, you know, of course, just play to your capabilities. But again, Yoan comes back and plays. We about know what he is now. He has not got a special extra gear that's going to make him MVP. Tim is what he is. And certainly, you know, defensively, you know, boy. So, you know, you just wonder where that kick is going to be. Tommy, Sam, hope for us here? Are you just sort of going to lay low, maybe pick another team like, you know, the Mets or something to follow a little more closely for a while until things warm up with this team?
No, I mean, I think it, this is to me where Tony La Russa builds his new shrine for himself, because if he is the mastermind that he likes to think that he is, that everyone wants him to be, you gotta adjust your game plan. And he hasn't shown an ability to do that. And that's true on the lineup. That's true in the bullpen management, just across the board. And I mean, so that's why, you know, I wrote that piece about lineup construction. I did it based on who's hitting line drives, because just the, you know, sheer fly ball, let's go for launch angle, that's not going to work with these new dead balls. Like, that, it really isn't. And the teams that are being more successful, you see that they're starting to take that small ball approach, which I hate saying, but that's what they're doing. They are sacrificing the runner. You're seeing more stolen bases. You're seeing guys try to apply pressure on defenders. And when Jose Abreu is beating it into the ground every single time, you need to have better guys ahead of him, drop him further down in the lineup, so you at least give yourself a chance. And then when he gets hot, great, you move him back up. But that's, those are the kinds of changes that we're not seeing from Tony La Russa just yet. I'm hoping that it happens sooner rather than later, since he is speaking out
or
against
all
guys like Keuchel, but maybe he's just going to sit back and wait and see what happens.
Am I crazy? Hold on. Can I just jump in here? Am I crazy that Tony La Russa is saying that, as nice as it is that it seems like, okay, wow, he put his glasses on and he saw a situation for what it is for once. He was the guy who kept running out the third time against the order, and he was consistently, yeah, steadfastly doing that. I get that he's like, okay, just check yourself, Keuchel. Enough is enough. But I mean, he contributed to that problem last
year. He did. Absolutely.
People piggybacked on that whole thing because it's Keuchel, and they kind of have a chip on their shoulder about Keuchel. But like, Giolito's had that same conversation about Tony before. And Tony's also talking about history about Keuchel. But like, we just had a history discussion about Byron Buxton the other day. And like, well, we were going to ignore all that history because we got him out earlier today. Like, well, then that means that Dallas was looking good earlier today, so you should roll with them, right? Like whatever Tony says, there's something that he said or done exactly the opposite of that. At some
absolutely
point.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I found funny about the whole Keuchel situation, because honestly I think they're both correct. There are some times where Tony should let guys go further into a game to save his bullpen, and there's other times where it's like, yeah, no, he doesn't have it, you need to take him out, and he's just sitting in the dugout. So I mean, I think that there are valid points both ways, but there have been, as close as the wins have been this year for the White Sox all year, there have been a lot of situations where you don't need 5-6 relievers coming into a game just to make it through 9 innings of baseball. That's absurd. Like, that's not sustainable no matter who you have.
Sam, it's not quite the final word, but I'm going to give you a chance to inject us with any hope here in terms of what this roster can do, what this lineup can do. Clearly, this team has forgotten how to hit. Even though for a while there, they were putting, and maybe still, I don't know, I've lost track, I don't care anymore, but X-Velocity was strong, at least at the start of the season, just weren't dropping. There's reason to believe there could be a finishing kick in this team through the last 4/5 of the season. There's still a lot of season left. It's a long season, but how are you feeling about it? And you think there's a decent chance of White Sox stepping up into what we think they should be?
Again, I think for the regular season, absolutely. And I expect that One quick thing on La Russa is I just remember when he was hired and I was talking to my dad, and my dad was saying, because I was curious, you know, because I had never followed La Russa's career really as a manager, and my dad being older and having, you know, obviously back when he was originally with the Sox and then through his Cardinals time and all that. And my dad said, the thing with La Russa is if it works, it works. But if it doesn't, he's going to do it his way and he doesn't care about anything else. And he'll go down with the ship, you know, doing it his way, you know, and it's going to be because he's got to do it the way that Tony's got to do it. And I think we're seeing that. And I'm seeing that, you know, every game where it's like, and we're seeing these themes, we're seeing these things happen. And everyone's like, well, why is he doing this? Or why is he doing this? It's like, well, there may be reasons for it. There may not be reasons for it, but there's one thing for sure. He's not going to change because anybody wants him to. Forget about the fans. I'm not expecting coach, you know, managers to listen to fans, but I don't think he's going to care what Rick Hahn says. I don't think he's going to care what anybody in the front office, what people on the team, Dallas Keuchel, Lucas Giolito, whatever. So back to the original question, as far as, you know, are they going to find another gear? Yes, but I'm just going to keep going back to it. I worry about the point in the season when they kind of, you know, maybe take back over the division and they maybe get a comfortable lead possibly. And then you start to see the people, you know, coming out and saying, oh, look, what were we all worried about? It's like, well, we weren't worried about the regular season. We all thought they were going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
We all thought they were going to win the division. Yeah. So if they do those things, you know, we'll see what happens at the deadline. I don't think we have any reason to believe that they're going to, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But so, yes, will they find a gear in the regular season? Absolutely. But they have not given me any reason to believe that they're not just going to be another quick, very, very quick exit.
No. But, you know, Tony had that 83-81 team that won the World Series. So, you know, maybe that's what we're kind of just waiting on that. He's going to just stick to that. Okay, speed round. So I got a little more time, but speed round. And I'm going to reverse it this time. So Tommy Barbie, you're up first. Will Steve Stone block you on Twitter this season?
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Okay. Sam?
Probably not, because I've wanted him to block me, but I haven't tried to, because I just find him so incredibly annoying on Twitter. So I wanted to like tweet him before, just being like, please just block me, like with no reason. And I'm sure he would. Because I tweeted at him like a year or 2 years ago, and I said like I love you or something, and then he said something like yikes or something like that. So, but I didn't get the block. So no, I don't think so. But yes. But I wouldn't mind if he did.
This coming from the Playboy centerfold Steve Stone. Okay, Joe, is Steve Stone going to block you?
I'm going to go with no. I'm just not really active enough with the pessimistic takes on Twitter. It's very uncommon for me to reply to, I guess big time accounts, like verified accounts. It would be pretty unlikely, I would say.
He not only will not block you, he will invite you to one of his favorite Scottsdale eateries. That's awesome, Joe. And you'll have to tell us about it and write about it. Adrian Serrano, will Steve Stone block you?
He won't, but that's just because I don't bother with him. Like, he's just like, he's another one. He's just going to do it his way and he's going to ignore reality. And like, that's fine. You got fired from the Cubs for being too truthful. So he's never going to go down that road again. He's going to ride into the sunset with his team. So he is what he is. He's just that old man thinking of I'm right, you're wrong.
And that sound you hear is Adrian getting blocked right now. Yeah,
really. Now he will search his name. There's people that are getting blocked that aren't tweeting at him, but I think he's searching his name. So if you're going to talk about him, just misspell his name a little bit and then he can't find it because he's not that technologically advanced.
So in spite of his claims, he's more technologically advanced than, say, I don't know, my father, who just clicks on everything that gives him a virus. So he just gives up. Crystal O'Keefe, will Steve Stone block you this year?
No, I'm actually nice on Twitter compared to like real life. So I also just don't bother with him. Also, I'm a girl.
Steve Stone's blocking her in real life.
I've seen some of the things he's followed and liked in the past. So I think I'm good.
Well, I'm so proud. I'm already blocked for daring to say that, I don't know, he's treating Trevor Bauer differently because, oh, I don't know. because of his complexion. Oh, he didn't like that. He didn't like that.
I am blocked by Trevor.
Oh, well, good.
And his agent.
Ah, that's a whole nother podcast. Okay, in case any of you listeners, any of you dear listeners, readers, oh, thank you. Thank you for, again, staying with us and hanging out for the entirety of Podcast 101. In case you think we're too negative, some of you out there think we are. We're not, but White Sox, you might even think you are. We know you're listening. Our esteemed panel has cited such things as the Heat, Cleveland giving up, Kansas City being Kansas City, Lance Lynn coming back. Lance Lynn, who is still probably not swelt. Lance Lynn coming back, the dead ball, and Tony La Russa waking up out of his year and a half slumber as reasons why the White Sox will kick it into some other gear and play like we've expected them to play and the way that Rick Hahn promised they would play at some point during this fabled window of contention. So if you think we tend to be a little too dour, I mean, come on, that's borderline fairy tale stuff right there cited in this very podcast. I'm not calling anybody out here on this panel because you're all great, but you know, we're hoping, we're pushing, we'll buy that second helmet nachos if we think it's going to push this team closer to the 90 win threshold. Thanks, panel, for being part of this podcast. Not an easy one after that great win streak and then dropping 4 of 6 on a homestand and a month of May that looks a little less tough than it was going to be, but still pretty tough. We're going to be talking at the end of the month with Lance Lynn still probably not pitching and the White Sox are still probably going to be hovering around 500. We're going to have a lot more of these types of discussions. I'm afraid to say, sorry, listeners, keep tuning in. We have fun. Hey, listen, man, Sam Sherman showed up this time. Come on. You don't know who's going to show up. Sam, this time, who knows who could be next? Or maybe Sam's going to stick with us forever in between the therapy sessions. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, panel, for hanging out. We're going to fade it out again with Don't Stop Believing, because why not? What choice we got? We're not going to stop believing. Hang with us. We'll be back with 102 sooner than you think.